Brother Olivier is the field representative for Heartland Baptist Missions. He's no stranger to our church and ministry. He's spoken many, many times through the years in our chapel. He was our graduation speaker this year. And so, Brother Olivier, would you come and share with us what the Lord laid on your heart?
Thank you, Pastor.
Speak in English, please.
That's right.
Qu'est-ce qu'il a dit? Il veut que je parle en français ou en anglais? Qu'est-ce qu'il a dit? Speaking in tongue already this morning. Great, great. If you have your Bible this morning, we'd love to turn to the book of Timothy. It'll be the first one, if you would. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothée. He speaks French. Good, 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 good. All right, just, I want to take it light because today is a very somber, very heavy day. 9/11. What a day that was. The attack perpetrated on the towers, on the Pentagon, and wherever else they were trying to do, whatever they were trying to do, really smack us in the face back then, didn't it? Many, many lives lost. I don't know that we have learned much in lesson-wise from it. Seems like churches and places of worship were filled for a few weeks, for a few months, but then everything went back to normal. And we quickly forget. So let us not forget. I'll talk more in the morning service about that. But this morning I wanted to take the time to speak specifically about mission. And what does that entail when we say mission? Somebody is called to mission. Somebody is living because they're missionary. What is that all about? And I want to touch base on a few things that nature this morning. We would look at a verse this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. None of us deserve to be counted worthy to be put in the ministry. But yet God see fit to do that and call some to be in the ministry, and call all of us to minister. And I want us to not neglect the fact that, yes, some are called to go abroad or even be missionary here in the United States, but all of us are called to minister. All of us are called to witness. All of us are called to do certain things. So what is really the journey, if you would, the journey when you are born-again believer, and then God starts to tug at your heart and put a thought in your head, and the seed is planted of Him wanting you to do something specific. And that can be not only for being a call to be a missionary, but that could be something about God is burdening your heart with a specific demand, maybe to start cleaning, maybe to start teaching, maybe to start getting involved more with soul winning, whatever. Do you guys have buses? Do you do bus out here? You do have buses? No, no buses? All right, minivan. Anybody? No, just. We can't all afford a bus, so let's narrow it down, right? But how does that work? What happens? All right, by way of a testimony, in 1996, I attended Bible school in Maryland. With Pastor Alan Dickerson in his little Bible college that he had up there. And I knew I was called to preach. God had really burdened my heart with that. And we started, and then little by little, he defined what he wanted us to do. And he sent us back to France for a while, and we ministered there. But what happened from the time God calls to the time you get to where God has called you? What happened there? Does anybody want to take a shot at that this morning? Training, very good. That's a good part. If you sense that God is touching your heart with, through the Holy Spirit, through Scripture, and He's giving you something specific that He wants you to do, the first thing you want to do is go to your pastor. Talk to him. Best counsel you'll get. Go to your pastor. Talk to him. Say, hey, I believe the Lord is working in my heart about. Right? And if truly is the Lord's working in your heart and He's starting to move things around, move things within, I bet you, and I know we're, you know, believers and we don't bet, but let's take a quick chance this morning. I bet you your pastor would be aware of it. When you're going to come to him and say, I was wondering when you were going to come and talk to me. You see, folks, we're somewhat of an open book. And it seems like we're always the one to be the last to know about what God wants in our own life. But everybody else has noticed the gift. Everybody else has noticed the calling, the hand upon you from God's side. And so in this journey of being counted into the ministry by God, is the first thing we are mentioning is go to your pastor. He will counsel you on your training. He will counsel you on, yes, we can see it. Yes, here, I believe maybe you should, and you're out too, and so on and so forth, right? So the first one in the journey, you get saved. That's the step number one. People that are not saved cannot serve God in the sense of being his servant. I know he calls donkey to do some things, but we're not all donkeys, right? You get saved. God starts to work in your heart. You go see your pastor. You feel, you believe, you sense. You know what? You put your head on the pillow. You think about it. You get up in the morning. You think about it. God is putting something in your heart that is more than just, hey, you got to get up, go to work. And no, there's something else. There's something more. It's deeper. It's constant. You can't let it go. Can't move away from it. You can't run away from it. Prophets have tried that. They can't run away from God, right? And so we cannot run away from our call. This is important. Once you have done the counsel, now you are attending some added training, maybe Bible school, maybe an institute, maybe just a couple of years working with pastor. And there is tutelage, if you would. And now you're about just about ready, and your pastor says, I think it's time that we send you out. It is time we send you out. Now, there's one thing, as a pastor, and I've pastored some churches throughout the years, and confirm if I'm right or wrong, pastors, the hardest thing to tell somebody is, you must go. We want people to come in the church. We don't want to send them away or out of the church, don't we? But this is a very specific thing. It's now you're going to be going to be an extension of this church. Grace Bible Church will be represented maybe in Papua New Guinea, and you might start a church there, and that be by extension when this service starts and when the service starts in Papua New Guinea. This is Grace Bible Church getting up and worshiping. This is Grace Bible Church doing this and doing that. You become an extension. But there's still some step in between that time when he says it's time to send you out and the time maybe that you are able to be out there. So what happened there? Now we're called, now the church has recognized the call, and they are ready. We have been trained, and now we're ready to go. What would be the next step? Somebody take a shot at that. Any hunter this morning? Come on. Support. Okay, that's a good start. Support. And what do we call that? Deputation. Very good. I like you for a first-timer. Good, good, good. I like him. Can he come to chapel too? Deputation. The fear of every missionaries that I've met is to arrive to that point when they start deputation. Do you want to guess why it is the fear of everyone that has to go through deputation? What is the fear? What is the holding them back? Or what is it? What do you think it is? What is it? Failure, that's for sure. Yes, something else. What else can impede upon the missionary to just go and deputationize?
It's hard to ask for money.
Very humbling to ask for money. It's
would you give me $10, please? That hard for me.
He should be a missionary, this guy. Send him out. Seriously. It's humbling. It's you don't want to be begging. So there is a balance there, right? But we're going to look at some of the blessings of deputation in a bit, okay? But I want you to trace that journey so you have a complete understanding when we start talking about those blessings, because they're hidden gem from the missionary until he gets started, until he's out there and he starts doing what we call the ministry of deputation. And that, to me, many a time, I like to put the ministry of deputation and the ministry of training kind of overlapping a little bit, if you would. And you're going to see why. So now we got a call. The hardest part for a missionary is to get over or past the gate. What do we call the gate? The secretary. You know how many calls she gets during the week by missionaries of all stripes? Because now you as a church want to support somebody that is like you. You don't want to take somebody that is contemporary or bright or whatever the diversion they have, right? So we want to stay within the bound of those that we believe are going to be like us, and we want to support those. So the first gate, the missionary calls, say, hey, this is Olivier Brock. I'm calling. I'm going to be a missionary to so-and-so place. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Is it possible to talk to pastor? Click. 93% of rejection. 93%. 100 call, 7 will get through to the pastor. The other 93 will not. Do you realize that? You speak about being humbled and you know, it's anguish. You know, you want to get to those pastors. You want to get to those ministry. So what is the next step for a missionary? What does he do? He wraps up his brochure, his prayer card. He does a nice letter. He might get a letter from his pastor and so on. He put that in an envelope, prays over it, and then send them out. Pastor, how many of those do you receive on a regular basis? One or two a week. Now, I know your pastor reads them and probably prays for them, regardless if he's going to consider them or not. But many just, another one. Goes in the trash. Goes in the trash. Unopened. So it's an expense. It's a lot of prayer. And yet, a lot of it is unanswered. Call, mail, email, mini videos, all kind of things are tried by missionaries to reach out to churches, to pastors, to try to get in. The purpose is not really, hey, I want support. I want your money. But the aim is, I need people to pray for me. I can't make it out the door, out the gate, unless you pray for my family and I to go out. And we lose sight of it because, especially when you are close to so many colleges and so many things around this area, you probably are bombarded with requests. And once you have a Christian school, then you have families, they know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that wants to come and do this as well. So you are bombarded. I totally understand it. I'm just trying to draw a picture. What is it daunting for the missionary? For a regular missionary, it takes about 2 to 7 years. 2 to 7 years to raise support to go to the mission field. It's not a good system. It may be a broken system, but that's the only system we have. That's the only system we know. That would be phenomenal. But that would mean that you will only be aware of 2 mission fields and you will not see anybody else. Now, again, the blessings of deputation is not just raising support. It is not just getting prayer partners, okay? The missionary comes, and what happens when he does come to your church? What does he do when he comes to your church? Shows a presentation. It shows you slides or videos about a country that you may have never heard of. How many of you have been to Papua New Guinea? How many of you have gone to France? Okay, thank you. Pastor, you have not been to France yet. What was it, a strike? They had a strike there. French are known for striking, so just so you know, okay? Folks, Some churches actually are doing what this gentleman has just said. First and foremost, if somebody is called from within their church, they are supporting him and his family fully. That's $5,000 a month that go to that family. I don't know what your budget for mission is, but imagine that. If they go to Japan, it's probably $8,000 or $9,000. If they go to Papua New Guinea, it's probably $6,000, $7,000. Now, that's for a family of four. So if they have a family with six, seven, or eight children, why is it so expensive? You're going to say, well, why so much? Well, let's backtrack a little bit. What happened when a missionary arrived in a place where nobody else is? Is the pastor, is the financial guy, is the director of music, is everything. But on top of it, all of those expenses are on him and his family. Nobody's tithing, nobody's adding to pay the bills. He's going to have to rent a building, he's going to have to buy the Bibles, the tracts, everything is at the expense of the missionaries. Think about it now. Now, we're talking business numbers only. You're starting a business. It's God's business, but you're starting a business from scratch. There's nobody around. You are it, and all the expense are on you. It's not easy, is it? Think about the big picture. Now we have one missionary that we support. We send him $5,000. His car breaks down, and now he needs $2,500 or $6,000 or $10,000 to either buy or purchase a new used vehicle or whatnot. See where I'm getting with sharing the burden of supporting? It's a little bit easier when you send $100 and all of a sudden they need a special offering and we do a special offering and help them out, but rather than having the whole burden on you. Now, your budget might be well over $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 a month that you send to mission. I don't know, and I don't want to know. That's not the point. What I'm saying is there is a system in place and there is reason for it. Granted, some churches that have the means can support one of their own fully. And I would still recommend to that missionary to go out and visit some other churches and get some kind of a prayer partners with other churches and so on and so forth, not to be just in one church. Okay? So what are the blessings of that missionary with their family hopping in the van every weekend and going to a new church? Can we take a shot at that? Is he the only one that can talk? I love you. I love you dearly. And I'm glad you are answering because all the others are super quiet right now. Thank you for helping me this morning. I love him. Can you be on the front row for the preaching session? Okay. Say what you were saying. Go ahead. Number one, you get churches to pray for you. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So he's going to teach you something as a missionary. The trips are going to teach you something, and we're going to get into that. I'm going to give you a list of things that are what I call the benefits of going on deputation. By the way, we are on our second time around on deputation. We did it once, and at the time I had my wife with me all the time and my three little ones, and they sang beautiful, played the music beautiful. I could not sing, so when we sing together, I was the one in the back, and hoping that everybody else on the front would catch, you know. So I didn't want to be a deterrent to the ministry. I wanted to be a help, okay? So if I sing, I'll probably shut the thing down. So the first time around, 9 months, raised $4,000 a month, and went to France. 9 months. God blessed us. 9 months, we raised the support. And we went. This time around, I've been on deputation, and I think I'll be on deputation till the end of my life, basically. Because with the increase of everything, it seems like every time I go somewhere, I'm the missionary in deputation. This being said and done, there's definitely things that you learn, that you've been taught every time. You have to own your craft. You have to learn to deal with the stress on the road. You have to learn to deal and manage with managing your family and the work at the same time. There's a lot of things that you're going to learn on the road, okay? What are the benefits that we can think of this missionary being on the road week after week, taking his family, and now what is the benefit to the church? that he visits. I'm coming back to you because I mean, just start thinking. I'll be back. What are the benefits? What benefits it is when I come and I tell you about the country of France? What is the benefit to you when I come and I challenge you with the Word of God? What are the benefits to you to hear it from somebody else that you need to love your pastor and pray for him? You know what I'm saying? You see? Yes, sir. Back. Opening your horizon, right? Now we know about Papua New Guinea. We know about France. You know about the Philippines. You had a missionary in the Philippines who you're praying for, right? Yes. Continue. Amen. A church is being started. This is a fruit that abounds to your account. You've prayed for it, and now it's starting. You've sent, you've prayed, and now it's fruit to your account. Very good. Somebody else had a hand up, I think, right over here. Amen. Let's touch back a little bit on that. I started by saying you're saved and then you are called. Recently, a young couple applied to the mission, and their kids from a missionary family. So you would think that they would have got that one point down. And we asked them, so tell us about your call. How did you pick the country? How God spoke to your heart about going to this country? He said, oh, it just sounded good. I went to the rest of the pastors and I'm like, guys, does it sound to you like there is no call? It's just, well, they're missionary kids and I understand their hearts to see souls saved and to be willing. And there's a definite willingness in both of those kids. They are both willing to serve and go. And so I recommended that they go back to the mission where the parents are and stay with the parents until God either confirm or at least affirm that call. If there's no call, you're going on your own. Nobody's going with you there. I'm of course, God's not going to go away from you, but if that's not what he wants, you're going to be in a pickle jar by yourself. You want God to go. You want God to bless. You want God to be the center of that. He has a plan. If you're not in the center of that plan, it's going to be a tough trip, right? Some of the benefit, let's go back to some of the benefits to the missionary learning to be a missionary, okay? Learning personal discipline. When you're on the road, time management, learning to not give the time up for, you know, maybe sightseeing rather than spending time with God. Yes, you have your family. Don't give up the altar, family altar, just because you're on the road. Things don't change in the sense. So discipline yourselves. Enlarging your faith. You know, it's hard to hop in the car when you only have $50 at the bank and you have a 6-7 hour trip to make. Where do you stop for lunch? If you stop for lunch. There's a lot there, folks. Your faith is going to be enlarged because God will supply all your needs without exception. Without exception. I live in a nice home. As you can see, I didn't miss too many meals this past month. I drive a used car. Yeah, I'm okay with it. It goes from point A to point B. I don't have to be having the latest or the newest or the fanciest, but I'm very glad when the car makes it from point A to point B, right? And there's maybe a little bit of gas left to go for something else, right? So there's a lot to be learned. Practice frugal living. Don't we all have sometimes that little issue? How many of you hunt? Like to go hunting? Fishing? I got 2 hunters, 1 fisher. That's it? What the rest? 3 fishers? 4? Okay, you all fish over there? Cool. How much is a nice rod and the wheel those days if you buy it new at the store? A nice one. I'm talking about a nice one. Don't go cheap on me. Come on. And I don't want one, by the way. Please don't buy me a fishing rod. I would not know what to do with it. Please don't, okay? So what would you say? $250, $300? Wow, expensive, right? What about a rifle? I like to stop at that Seabass Pro Shop or, you know, some of those places. Love to see those animals. That's the only time I can get close to the bear. That's the only time I want to get close to the bear. Amen? How much is a rifle those days? A nice rifle. Probably $600, $700, maybe $1,000. Folks, in relation to that, how's a missionary can do this? Here you go. Now, every time we see on our, you know, website somewhere, they have a hunter's dinner or fisherman dinner at the church. Man, we're there. Bring the kids. You have to learn what venison is. You have to learn what, you know, right? You see what I'm trying to say here? Practice frugal living. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to put aside because guess what? During this period of time, at least, while we travel, while we are on the road, we're going to have to give up some of those things. Right? Now, it's not a sacrifice. Let me be frank on that, okay? How many times we have heard, oh, I had that six-figure business, you know, and God called me. I had to give it all up. You haven't given up anything. You have not given up anything. Serving God is the greatest and the most wonderful place you can be. There's nothing greater. There's no greater reward to see a soul come to Christ that if you had not gone there, had not come to Christ. Or at least you would not have witnessed it. Think about it. Being used of God to lead someone to Jesus, it is for eternal consequences. Not just right now getting a rifle, go get, you know, and I have nothing against hunting. I have nothing against fishing. Please go and continue to do that. Bring some to your pastor once in a while. He loves, I think, the rainbow trout, if you get those, fishermen. I don't know where I come from. The rabbit is a big thing. Wild boar, you know, they love those things. Deer, of course, venison, that you can, you know. You can get a couple of dove, a couple of quails, maybe. Yes, very nice. But I'm telling you that, folks, when we are on the road, while we are doing this deputation, a lot of things are set aside. Develop the ministry of prayer. Well, we started deputation, and again, by way of the testimony, one Saturday, we were at home at lunch, and you probably told that story to the kids in chapel, so I'm going to tell it to you as well. And it was the end of the month. We had more month than they had money to be running that month. And the fridge was pretty bare. You know how hard it is as a father to sit down around a table when you don't have the means to provide? But at the same token, my God shall supply all my need, was my prayer. And on the 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they had a wedding at the church we stayed. And all the leftovers from that wedding was brought into us. We went from having barely anything to having a full fridge and then some. We gave thanks for the little things we had, and God blessed it above and beyond. This is the God we serve. When He says, I will supply all you need, He means it. But you also have to trust it. You also have to pray to that end. Now, I could have probably went and gave blood or plasma and maybe get $20. Well, actually, since I've been to France, they probably won't want it. Ugh. Bird flu. Crazy cow thing. Well, you got COVID. How better are you now? And we didn't do it this time. But don't blame the French. Folks, this is going to help build a faith on that road that will last you a lifetime on the mission field. faith built during that period of time will sustain and be the memories and be the thought and the prayers that we are going to have while we are there and we arrive in France and something goes awry and all of a sudden the car is broken down, the wash machine has leaked and this is not working. And what do? We don't smile at a defeat and failure. We go to our God in faith, believing that He will supply the needs. He will take care of it. In the project that we were building in France, we bought a concrete box, literally the basement of a high-rise building. So what we had is blocks on this side, block on that side, windows on that side, and block on this side, and pillars in between. Our prayer was, Lord, You gave us this thing for a ridiculous number of money. I mean, it was just so cheap we couldn't pass it, really. We paid $25,000 for a building that was worth maybe $500,000-$600,000. Okay? That's God working, okay? He gave us that. Now, we have an empty box and we're like, okay, Lord, You gave us this, so You must have a plan for it. You must have something that needs to go in and so on and so forth. And every step of the way, the faith we had built in the Deputation Trail came into play. You remember when we didn't and we asked and He gave and He provided? Did you see it coming that way? No, what a surprise. He surprised us with this instead of what we were asking, and that was much better than what we asked for. Well, God supply the supplies, the workers, the engineer, the architect, a special electrician specific to building, not to residential, to building electricity. And so step by step, faith upon faith, grace upon grace, God built His church. And you know what? It was trying at time. You go home, you work 14 hours, you're going to spend another 4 or 5 to prepare the message for Sunday. How do you encourage these people? Well, I got examples of on the road what God did for my family. And you share, and you pray, and God bless. Blessing of that deputation are both for the church, but also for the missionary. This is also a learning part. It's a training in God's school, if you would. Trusting God for daily needs, patiently waiting on God. I think that's one is hard for any one of us, right? Wait on God. Are you good at waiting on God? Right? Well, good for you. I'm not so good at that. I want to go ahead. I want to see things happen. And so during the deputation is... when you don't have it and you got to depend on God for the next step, you depend on God for the next step. And again, a learning start. Any of you depending on right now and waiting on God for an answer prayer? I only saw one hand up. Come on now. Be with me. It's only what? 9, 10, I can't even see it. 10:35. So how many of you really are waiting upon God right now? That's much better. All right. Patiently waiting, James 5:7, be ye also patient. I tell you what, when you call and you don't have meeting for next month, and you depend on those income to go on to the next place and so on and so forth, you depend on those income to put food on the table, you depend on those income to maintenance the car. And remember, car now is a tool. I mean, you depend on that car to go everywhere to do the next trip. On the first round of deputation, we stayed on the East Coast. By God's grace, we were able to stay on the East Coast. So we started up in, actually, Bathurst, Canada. You know where that is? About an hour or two south of the ice circle up there. And it was cold. Let me tell you, we were up there in July. We had cold. We were cold. And then the last church that took us on was down here in Florida. So from up north up there all the way down here. And we wanted to stay on the East Coast. Why? Well, every 4, 5, 6 years, missionaries are to come back home and report and give an update on their missionary status. What happened? I know you receive prayer letters, right, regularly. And I hope you read those prayer letters and you pray over those prayer requests that are in the prayer letters, right? And it's important because this is the lifeline, again, of your missionary. They need you to pray for those things. Please don't skip on that. Do what is required there, and that's your prayers, right? Those prayer letters inform you, but it's not as seeing it on a video presentation. When we came, there was nothing. And there, we just came back now, and there's a little church. You can see the building. You can see the picture of the church family, maybe, and so on and so forth. How much more does that do to you as, wow, look what they did. Now it's not look what they did, it's look what you did. See, if you prayed, if you participated through prayer, you have sent, you've supplied, you've encouraged, maybe at their birthday, you have sent them a little card and said, hey, we're thinking about you, brother. Have a happy birthday. Now, if you can give a little, no, I'm just telling I'm a missionary. I'm going to beg. Young people, you would not know. And that memory always breaks my heart because it was such a blessing to my kids when kids from the state would send them a card. The battle in my house during the 7 or 8 years that we were in France specific was who is going to go get the mail. The kids were taking turn. Monday was Grace. Tuesday was Josh. Wednesday was Grace. Because the little one, we don't send him to the mailbox. But I'm telling you, folks, when that little card, and it was addressed to them personally, it did such a wonderful job in their heart. It encouraged them. They were not forgotten. Remember, missionary don't fit anymore on the field because they're the American or whatever nationality you have, and you come into a field where, well, you're different. You're not like them. And then you come back home, you're no longer like what you were when you left. You have changed. You have been influenced by where you went. And now you're coming back home and you're like, this is my home church, but I don't know anybody. This is the church that sent us, and we're revisiting. We remember the pastor. We remember maybe the secretary. We remember maybe a couple of families. But, wow, who's all those new people? We don't know them, and they don't know us. And this is also one of the reasons why we come back to the state, give a report, revisit the church, get reacquainted with the new families in the church. It is that important to have that connection. Okay, those little cards, those little notes, those Sunday school, get together and sign a card and send it to my birthday. And it was maybe a kindergarten or a first grade, and most of them could not even spell my name, which is okay. You can mess up on that anytime as long as you send the card. And I tell you what, I cried over that card. That was the first year we were there. We had left, and it was hard the first year. It was hard the second year, but especially the first year. You leave everything you know to something you don't. And I was from there. And so when I came back, I expected the French people to rise up to the occasion, and they would not. They look at us like, ugh, you're what? Baptist? Ugh, what is that? You're a cult? Within 6 months that I was preaching there, I got arrested by the internal affair, if you would. And they got me for 4 hours, questioned me and asked me, what kind of, how's a Frenchman go to America and comes back here? And now you're what? A Baptist? A believer? What is even that? Oh, I'm glad you ask. Well, okay. Can you come back and give us some instruction on what is a Baptist? What is a believer? What did you come here for? And so on and so forth. So I came home, and for a week, I had a whole week to prepare. And they kept me for 4 hours, and now I had them for 4 hours for me. And man, did I give them the gospel. But you don't fit neither here or there. You're not like them, and you're no longer like you used to be. All your friends kind of forget you. Most of the relative is the missionary in the family. Ugh. Stay away. He's going to tell you the gospel. He's probably going to ask you for money. Stay away, right?
They don't want to visit.
Oh, they don't. They don't visit. I saw more my family while I was in the state than I saw my family when I was in France. Does that ring a bell? When I said you don't fit here anymore and you don't fit there. And I know, you know, we have great missionaries that have dressed up like the native. I've even become native themselves in the sense that they have asked the nationality to be changed. So they're no longer American. They became either a national of that country. And yet they are not fitting like if they were a national. They're not. So we don't fit neither there or there. So when we receive a card, when we get a little bit of, can I say it in such a way, a little bit of attention, we're not forgotten. Somebody still think about us. Somebody is still praying about what we're doing. Or you're going to say, yeah, let's be spiritual. Well, you're never alone. God is with you. What do you need else? Let me challenge you to go and sit in the woods for 1 week. You and God. Nothing else. Just do it. And call me when you're done. It gets lonely, folks. Your mind will start playing tricks on you. I'm telling you. Another benefit of the missionary traveling, and I'm going to close with this one because I believe it's one that I wanted to not forget today, but we are a peculiar people. And without putting being special or this or that, people in the ministry have a possibility a little bit more to relate with people that are in the ministry. So a pastor, an associate pastor, assistant pastor, a Sunday school teacher will have a little bit more of an understanding, if you would. They know the routine, if you would, of the daily preparation, the gathering the information, the getting fed themselves so that they can feed somebody else. They also, because they have a position, people come to them and kind of lay their burden on them. And they wish they could share that with their wife, but they can't. Same thing, the pastor's wife, somebody comes and see her and lay a burden upon her, but she can't share that with her husband because it's maybe too much of an intimate thing with the person. So there is that relationship. And outside that circle, it's not always there, that understanding. And so it's tough for the missionary wife. It's tough for a pastor and pastor's wife. So when we travel, there's a certain bond that is created. The Holy Spirit needs certain pastors and certain missionaries together, certain church and certain missionaries together. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that church will really feel a burden. That pastor will really feel a burden. There's a connection that's taking place. And then there is that next step that takes place. Support in prayer, support financially. And maybe the pastor will come and visit. Maybe once you're on the field, he does come and see you and comes and encourage you, brings you some peanut butter, which you haven't had for the past 4 years. I'm joking, but I tell you what, jars of peanut butter on the foreign field, not everyday thing. Connection with the pastor, ministering to the pastor while they're here in the States. Hey, pastor, is there something I can do for you? I'm here. I'm going to be 4 days in your town. And guess what? Come and weed the garden with him. Whatever it is. But it'll tie you up in a way that nothing else will. And that relationship is, I'm on the field and now I got an issue. This young man came and see me and I don't know how to deal with that. So what do I do? I called a pastor friend that told me that he had had that situation in his church. And I kept contact with that pastor. We have that relationship. And he can mentor me and help me because he has gone through this and knows the answer and maybe the help that I need. And so I can reach out. Benefit for the missionary and for the pastor. How many pastors have called me while I was on the field because they could not share it around here, even with other pastors in the area, because of the nature of the request. And so they were able to call me far off over there in the corner of France and say, hey, brother Brock, I don't know if you come across this, but this past week, so-and-so came and see me. And we pray on the phone together. We cry on the phone together. We laugh on the phone together. We look at scripture together. Let me get back to you on this one. How priceless those relationships were while I was on the field. How priceless. Benefit of deputation for the churches and for the missionary. Continued education. Learning how to behave, to discipline themselves, live frugally. Learn to establish those connections, those relationships, and then, at the Lord's will, now you're ready to go. I hope this was a blessing to you this morning and understanding a little bit more what a missionary goes through while he's getting ready to go to the field. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we come. We ask, dear God, that you would bless the remainder of the day, Lord. We ask for pastor and the pastors as they travel this afternoon, Lord. You give them safety. We do want to pray, Lord, that you will bless them during this conference, Lord, and allow them to learn and maybe be an impact in the people that they'll be in touch with. We do want to pray for our morning service, Lord. May you bless, bring some visitors. Pray, Father, that you would be glorified through it all. We ask in Jesus' name.